Okay, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, Mitchell Henderson is back tonight every Monday. I don't know how he does it. He keeps putting, he's working on his new book. I know what he's doing. Every week is a new chapter in his book. It's going to be great. I don't know what are you going to title it? Come on, Mitch, you're writing a book. That's what you're doing. This is that important of information.
Title will be the last part.
Yeah. Title will be The End of the Line.
Yep.
Something like that. Yeah. So how are you? All right?
I'm doing good. Tonight I want to talk about the "it can't happen here" delusion.
Of course it can't.
So many people have.
Nah, can't happen here. Nah. Nah.
So I myself, I've been to 36 different countries in 28 years in the Army, and I've been to 16 conflict zones. Everything that I talk about has been real to me. Okay, but I realize that most people, only 1% of our current population has been to war. So it's very unreal to them. It's not something that they can relate to in any way.
No, they can't. No.
So why do so many people die when nations fail or wars come to them? It is a simple psychology that tyrants have used forever. Each individual is unique, not just with a unique and subjective view of the world, but a will for the future, which is their vision of how life should be. Individuals interpret the future according to how they personally want it to be for them.
Uh-huh.
For example, I know preppers that are not satisfied with their current state of preparation. Psychologically, they convince themselves that they have plenty of time. This assists government propaganda in making them believe that everything is under control and that they themselves are the enemy of the state. They are convinced that they are in fact not the enemies of the state, and that somehow the government will come to see that and leave them alone. Well, they're misunderstanding the situation. The anti-white CRT propaganda is intended to create a race war. It's intended to exterminate them, okay, just like it has in every other country that has had extermination events like this, okay, be it Rwanda or whatever. The same pattern of belittling the race that you want to attack comes out. Now, Rwanda's kind of interesting because we see that as black-on-black violence. But if you were in Rwanda, you wouldn't see it that way, okay? Because you see, the Hutu, which were the farmer people, they actually have black facial features, whereas the Tutsis, which are the nomadic people, they're more of a Hamitic people, and they have white facial features. They're still very black, but they have white facial features. So a Hutu can tell a Tutsi apart very quickly, okay? Mm-hmm. And then all they have to do is talk about the people with those facial features, and then everybody knows who to go kill. And it took them no time at all, with machetes alone, not guns and explosives, but machetes, killed almost 1 million people.
Well, remember in Cambodia, where they killed 3 million, they used shovels and rakes and hoes.
Or just a board to crush their head in.
With a nail in it.
They're trying to save bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to save bullets. So this is the truth. There's actually few white people that are racist, white supremacist, or white nationalists. There is no trend towards white people just killing black people unprovoked or at random. Even police shootings, for every unarmed black man shot by the police, 9 unarmed white people are shot by the police. But there's no George Floyd being painted at the Catholic universities in the mothers of the Madonna representing the Christ, okay? So they get so super carried away with this. So what are our politicians, academia, and news media trying to distract us from with all this hyperbole about white supremacists? They're staying quiet about the epidemic of black people just robbing, carjacking, murdering white people on a daily basis. To assist in this deception, law enforcement avoids investigating these crimes. And if a black perpetrator or caught, Marxist prosecutors refuse to indict them for it. Why don't they indict? Because these bands of black supremacists don't commit just one crime. They're habituated to doing it. And arrest possibly disclose just how often they are doing it, making the situation look worse. Remember, the government is covering for black people murdering white people. It's actually purposely and intentionally covering for them and taking care of them once they get caught to make sure nothing terrible happens to them. Okay. So this is an intentionally provoked race war that they're trying to start here. Okay. Remember that the subject government's narrative that all white people are evil and all black people are good. Okay. Well, that's a narrative that in of itself is untrue. It just can't be true. It's,
you think?
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Any absolutes are ridiculous about any group.
Yes, they are. They are. In other words, white Americans buy into the lies about them. They refuse to accept that these lies can lead to their genocide. Why? Because they can't believe that it will happen here. They can't believe that the U.S. is no longer a democracy or a constitutional republic. They can't believe that World War III can happen. They can't believe that the American economy could crash. They can't believe that we are on the verge of a heartless and cruel civil war. They can't believe any of these things because it has not happened in the world and they do not want it to happen. So they could believe, they just don't want to believe. Okay? So it should be so obvious that the COVID pandemic is an intentional biological warfare attack on the world, that the 2020 elections were rigged by the Marxist Democrats, and that the so-called vaccine is another biological weapon created to integrate humans with the Internet so that the Great Reset can be implemented using BodyNet and blockchain technology to cancel all of your debts. And criminalize all private property. But very few are convinced of this because they are caught up in their daily life and simply refuse to believe that it can happen. It is, as Tears for Sears sang, indecision married with a lack of vision. Okay? It's very widespread. So keep in mind that this satanic plot of globalism is ancient. All of us have been fed the false narrative of reality since we were born. Their intentions for day one were to enslave us, but by using the inevitability of gradualism so that the slaves would obey, life in America or most places in the world has changed drastically in the last 2 years since the bioweapons attack began. Right this moment, your taxpayers' money is being spent by our free government to develop and create even deadlier viruses and now fungi to infect and kill us. Even if the people know that for a fact, they will not be alarmed or angry. It's the government's supposed to do that. The Roman playwright Plautus, this is circa about 200 B.C., said, quote, "There are two kinds of slaves, the one in chains sleeping on a stone floor that has no doubt that he is a slave, and the kind that sleeps in a soft bed, can walk about freely, and has a full belly, that has no idea that they are a slave. That is the kind of slaves that we are. And what keeps us a slave is that we deny that we are slaves. There is no one who can convince you that we are slaves. We can't be convinced of it, simply because we don't want to believe we are slaves. We have been told all our lives that we're free. All my lives I've been questioning exactly what those freedoms are, like as if I was free to do exactly as society wanted me to do, if you call that freedom. Yet believe it when they deny all of their evil deeds and blame people who have nothing to do with it. They hold a commission to investigate it, so that they can control the narrative of that event. That's what all government investigations are. It'd be nice if I got into trouble, if I could just be free to investigate myself. I'm pretty sure I would find myself not responsible in any way. Okay? And they're the same as me. Okay, so the Great Reset is a globalist, Marxist, and Zionist takeover of the world. It will control us through our wallet, just as they have from the beginning. They want the economy to fail as well as hyperinflation so they can introduce a universal cryptocurrency that is actually stored in our bodies so that none can buy or sell without it. They intend to destroy the parallel economy, the underground economy, as well as the black market. Only direct barter can survive such an economy. Okay, so Plan A is the COVID pandemic that introduced the public health totalitarian state to the world. It was meant to be a pretext for vaccinating everybody on Earth into budding it, and hopefully kill off 7.5 billion people, because as long as we have 8 billion people on Earth, we need coal and petroleum to keep them warm and keep the lights on. Green energy can never support so many people. The wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine. The big lie of climate change is the pretext for making energy so expensive that no one can afford it, which is broadly inflationary and helps with the Great Reset. So Plan B is World War III. They are sure that it will kill off 7.5 billion people. The truth is that initially from nuclear war itself, less than about a billion people will die. But because so much infrastructure will be destroyed, as well as communications, supply chains disrupted, and because so many people would just automatically obey the government, within 1 year of a nuclear war, that will last hours at most, 7.2 billion people will die within that year. Okay, so Plan C is the alien invasion. According to an Air Force source, and this is recent, I just got this recently from, they have what they call in-the-can holograms that they can project to show anything from a single spaceship to a fleet of invading spaceships. They can project a Virgin Mary or even a Christ into the clouds.
Right. Yeah,
they have culturally relatable holograms for everyone on Earth, everywhere on Earth, whatever your culture is, that they can appeal to you. The exact strategy or intention, he did not know. He just knew that they had canned programs to put out any possible message or create fear or even hope. Okay? The objective is obedience. Okay? So Plan A has not worked out so well. The COVID hyperbole still continues. The lies just as strong, but they have hit a wall. The harder they push at this point, the more resistance they meet. We are now at the point where more people are dying of the vaccination than are dying from the disease. I just saw a statistic today that said a year ago, 54% thought the COVID epidemic was the most important thing going on in the world. And that's down to 34% today. Okay, so people are growing tired of it. You can't just keep feeding this rough narrative, and you know people get tired of it. They quit listening. They tune it out, especially when none of it happens to them. That really tunes a lot of people out. So Plan B will be next. Its objective is to rapidly reduce the world population, leave the global elites in control of most of the world's resources as they do right now, and use fuel, water, and food as a weapon of war. You will obey or you will starve. This is not unprecedented. In Ethiopia back in the 80s, in Eritrea, they had a famine, and the world sent food to feed those people. But the government did two things. One, it made the people sending the food pay taxes on it. And two, it only gave food to people who would obey the government. So this is an old thing. This is not some new idea. Okay? So let's just look quickly at China. All of the red lines that the CCP set since 1949 have been crossed, loudly and apparently. Chairman Xi cannot afford to lose face before his October 2022 election. The leadership believe that without a communist Chinese party, that there is no point in any Chinese person being alive. Okay, this is what the Chinese party within itself says. There is no Chinese people, there is no Chinese nation without the party. And they're okay if everybody dies, if the party dies. Okay. So Taiwanese independence is an existential threat to the CCP and Chairman Xi personally. They are an all-or-nothing state. They are a nation facing economic woes just like us. They have passive resistance like us. We have the Great Resignation, and they have the laying down flatism, or the laying down flat movement. They are tired of overtime culture and the 996, or working from 9 to 9, 6 days a week. Their tenets are simple. Don't buy property, don't buy a car, don't get married, don't have children, and don't be a product consumer outside of essentials. Nobody knows their exact number, but forms of 200,000 people show up each time. There could be up to 200 million people who have dropped out of the Chinese economy. There's no way, the Chinese will never tell us that. China also has 44 million Christians, which is a government estimate. Most Christians are not in the state-sponsored churches. Chinese Christians believe that the Communist China is, quote, the great red dragon of Revelation, with its seven heads, which is the number of people on the CCP Politburo Standing Committee, and its ten horns that are the ten commissions of the party, to include the Central Committee, the Central Politburo, the General Secretariat, Central Military Commission, National Security Commission, Comprehensive Deepening Reforms Commission, Financial and Economic Affairs Commission, the General Office, the Organizational Department, and the Central Commission for Discipline and Inspection. That's 10. Further, in Revelation, it says that the red dragon would descend upon a woman clothed in the sun with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. This is obvious to the Chinese Christians because the Taiwanese flag is a sun, and its star has 12 spikes. The other part of China causing a threat to unity is the moon, or the Muslims in Western China. They believe that this means that China will attack Taiwan and exterminate the Muslims. This is why Christians are suppressed in China. On top of that, the Chinese strongly believe that the USA, the unipolar world power, has lost the mandate of heaven with our bai shuo, or woke politicians, and our sorry lack of leadership on anything. They see the U.S. government as a wolf that is attacking its own people and know that it is not popular and is not likely to get many volunteers to go die in the Western Pacific for a Marxist pedophile Biden regime. China is a done deal. There will be war. It is only a question of when, and that secret is held by Chairman Xi and Putin, because they intend to coordinate their attacks, okay? So keep in mind that the ascendant powers are neutralized by inflation and severe economic problems. These include India, Iran, Turkey, and Brazil, okay? So that only leaves the major world powers, which World War III will take care of, okay? Then that leaves the Russia question, okay?
Okay, hold on before we jump into the Russia question.
Okay.
We've got this whole thing going on in Europe, NATO and the European Western Bloc allegedly constantly pushing against Russia, trying to provoke something. You got that lunatic president in Ukraine now doing the same. The Western nations are, was it Britain? Denmark is sending 4 fighter jets, and we keep sending more arms and armaments, and where's this going to go, really? What do you think? I mean, they can't maintain a state of readiness forever. It's too expensive.
Yes, it is. And not only that, but like I said before, Russians have told me, the Russian journalists told me, that they can't have a good life because they have to pay all their money to the military to protect them from the decadent West. The woke decadent West. They really actually do sincerely fear us. They think we want to roll over and turn them all into LGBT trans people or something. Okay. They're afraid of us. They have a reason to be afraid. Okay.
Yeah.
So in Russia, traditionally, Russia has, it's a big open plain. So throughout their history, they've always been invaded. So they have a natural, inborn, cultural fear of invasion. We are supposed to be smart. We are supposed to recognize that that's a part of their culture, that that's the way we are, that they are. We shouldn't be trying to change them. We should be trying to accommodate them. If we actually wanted peace, that's what we'd do. But peace
there's no money in peace. No.
Nope, none at all. So, you know, this is why this thing has to be. To watch it play out, it's just amazing because, like, in the beginning, I would see maybe a few articles in foreign policy magazines throughout the years, building up and stuff. And then earlier this year, it picked up quite a bit and stuff. But now, man, I am just beaten with reams and reams of information from many sources.
Sure.
Talking about Russia going to war. I mean, it's like, talk about the chatter before
the last thing the Russians want is war. Anybody with a brain can look through this crap and see it. This is all provocative behavior on the part of the West, completely.
Yes, it is.
It's rather shameful. Is a gross understatement. It is contrived. It is vicious. It is evil. We're really in trouble here. Hold on a minute. We'll be right back with Mitch Henderson.
Okay.
Okay, just saw an interesting story, Mitch. We used to be a police officer, and there are some really wonderful people working in law enforcement doing their best. There's some real awful people in law enforcement doing their worst. But here's a guy landed his single-engine plane and survived the crash. It was on a road in the daylight, but unfortunately the plane ended up stopped on the railroad tracks. So body cam of one of the police officers who arrived on the scene shows the cops running up and pulling the guy, really wrestling to get him out of the plane, seconds before this train, 60 miles an hour, hits the plane and it's smithereens. So congratulations, men and women in law enforcement. Again, you do heroic work very often, which goes unnoticed. We'll put this story up tonight. All right, Mitchell, go right ahead.
Okay, so Putin has asked NATO for written agreements not to extend NATO into any more Soviet republics, former Soviet republics, not to put missiles east of the old NATO line, and not to hold any major military maneuvers east of the old Iron Curtain. It is okay if all present NATO members stay in NATO. This will solve the Ukraine crisis because Russia would not have to fear invasion from any neighbors, and peace would be assured.
Uh-huh.
This is not a negotiating point. It is an ultimatum. Biden told Putin that more sanctions were on the way. Previously, they were if Russia invaded Ukraine. Now they are just sanctioning to put pressure on Russia. Putin said if we impose more sanctions, he would break diplomatic relations with the West. That is code for, quote, we will be going to formal war with you. Okay. So, I mean, we could go to war with Russia at this point without even invading the Ukraine.
It's true. They've had enough of us
and they're ready to push the button, you know?
How much, really, okay, you just put your finger on something. How much can Vladimir Putin and his government stand this crap? It really is crap.
Well, I'm going to tell you just how much crap it is and how worse it gets, okay? So Secretary of State Blinken publicly announced that NATO had never promised not to move an inch west when the Iron Curtain came down. However, the NATO documents that say that we did make that promise were declassified in 2017 and have circulated widely. It's like it's not a secret. Everybody knows it. Everybody, anybody who wants to see the documents can. Is Blinken just uninformed or an idiot? He's not talking to his kids. He's talking to a more nuclear powerful Russia. Does he think he can fool them? He fools the American people. What we need is to be aware of all of this is taken between the uninformed Americans and the serious Russians is that up to now, invasion of Ukraine by Russia would not have involved NATO or the U.S. as belligerents. But Biden's lack of vision or even a mind at all has stirred the angry bear to the point where a nuclear war is almost inevitable. We let Chairman Biden rig an election to put the worst and most ignorant into office, and he is going to get you, your family, and your friends killed in an easily avoidable nuclear war, which we know that we cannot win. We know it already. While Blinken hypocritically condemns Russia for wanting to get involved in NATO issues, Blinken condemns Russia for interfering in Kazakhstan, which is a member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization that asked for Russian assistance.
Well, let me ask you another question then, if I might.
Okay, yes.
All right, all this is true, and it is blatantly, painfully, pathetically, morbidly, obviously true that we're provoking the bear. We're trying to get Russia to attack one way or the other, and then it'll escalate. We do know that the plan, at least yours truly, is to bring this country down. I was told years ago that the plug was going to be pulled in the United States, Western Europe, and the rest of the white Western Christian nations. They're taking us down. They're going to take us down, and if the Deagle.com numbers are correct, by 2025, January 1st, that's not long, friends, there will only be about 99 to 100 million Americans left. Now, it doesn't mean there won't be that many people here, because 200,000 alone came across the border last August. So they're coming in here all the time. These are third and fourth world people. We're also flying them in from Somalia. We're bringing them in. So there will be bodies here, but they just won't be white, Western, Christian, European, American bodies for the most part. But my question is that enough for the globalist elite, or do they want to really flatten this country with thermonuclear war? What is your guess on that?
Well, so you have to realize that the globalists believe in nuclear winter, just like they believe in climate change, okay? But as somebody who went to the nuclear warfare school in the United States Army and learned all about it, I know nuclear winter is not true. Let me tell you, and the person who decides what places will be attacked will be the Russians. It's not the globalists.
Correct.
Okay, so what are the Russians? All these illegal immigrants that are coming into the country, where do they send them? Well, they send them mostly to big cities where they can be absorbed. And who's going to get flattened by a nuke? The big cities. These illegal aliens are coming to the United States to meet their death. They would have lived if they would have stayed home. They're going to die here, okay? And Putin doesn't, Putin actually, he's aware, listen, you have to remember, we're so ignorant about Russia and China, but Russia and China study us honestly and in depth.
Constantly.
They know us very well. They know that rural America is mostly white America, and they know that most of rural America tends to be more decent people, religious people, moral people.
Well, the last of the real Americans, of course.
Yeah, they're not the woke people that Putin hates. So Putin can leave us here to rebuild, okay? It's not what the global elite wants, but Putin has more of an inclination towards that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let me continue with the childishness here. Secretary of State Blinken publicly announced that NATO had never. I think I already told you that. What we need to be aware of is all the talking between uninformed Americans and the serious Russians is that up to now an invasion of Ukraine would not have involved NATO or the U.S. as belligerents. But Biden's lack of vision, and even a mind, has all stirred the angry bear to a point where nuclear war is almost inevitable. We let Chairman Biden rig an election to put the worst and the most ignorant into office, and he's going to get us all killed. Okay, so well, boy, you can hypocritically condemns Russia for waiting to get involved, wanting to get involved in NATO issues. Blinken condemned Russia for intervening in Kazakhstan, which is a member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization that asked for Russian assistance. That's Russian business and Kazakh business. It's not our business. The riots began over an increase in gas prices. The Kazakhs, without a Bill of Rights, burned the government buildings down, attacked the police and military. They are unarmed. Meanwhile, Americans do nothing when their gas prices are raised. The Russians, the Russian NATO talks are just a formality. Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman characterized what the U.S. Blinken and Biden said as, quote, baby babble. So what I want to do is read some comments from people in Western nations, mostly the United States, to illustrate just how out of touch Blinken is with reality. For example, follow these comments made by Americans to the situation. Quote, unlike the U.S., Russians only go where they are invited to and don't understay their welcome. The Russians fix a problem and leave. The United States stay, murder, rob, and steal from people. Okay. This is another one. It would be great seeing D.C. hit with a hypersonic nuke. This is an American saying this, okay? USA will have an uprising soon. I support an American uprising. This is what somebody else. I'm just reporting what other people have said out in the open, okay?
Gotcha.
So baby babble is the American government in a nutshell. We're the ones who need a revolution, not Kazakhstan. Another thing. No intelligent person is employed by the U.S. State Department. And then another one, I love it, baby babble. What a well-picked term for American arrogance. 800 U.S. bases around the globe telling everyone what they will defend the host from an imaginary enemy. The problem is that you invite the Americans into your home and they will become rooted like poison ivy. Okay. Another thing. Once Zio trash like Blinken infect governments, it is difficult to get them to leave. And another one. Blinken is a Talmudic Satanist. Such psychopaths think they are God. A nation in grip of globalist financial elites, run by administration full of mediocre puppets. Uh-huh. That's some great American democracy for you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So these comments from Americans who do not want a nuclear war with Russia fill volumes. But here at home, there's absolutely no debate about this. It is not in mainstream media. It is not really discussed in any format. I mean, they'll tell you what they're doing, but there's no discussion about it. The Marxist dictator Biden and his running dog Blinken are trying to murder most of us, and we have nothing to say about it? What happened to all of the snowflakes throughout our history that went into the streets to protest wars now that they will actually have a war that can exterminate us? Where are they? Where are they protesting?
Where?
A Canadian professor named Paul Robinson remarked, by imagining Russia to be uniquely evil, Western commentators misread its every move. More bluntly, I would say that we are lied to, and our media and government does not reflect reality at all. The long and the short of it is that the Marxist Biden regime is pushing towards nuclear war for absolutely no good reason at all over something that is not even remotely a national interest for allies to have no enemies.
No.
So to make them up by bullying their neighbors, a tale told by a fool signifying nothing but getting
see,
a fool
and
in the process.
Here's another angle. The Russian people remember the Bolshevik Zionists very well.
Yes,
and they recognize them as now inhabiting what passes for an alleged government here in this country. They know who the enemy is. They watch tens of millions of their people be slaughtered by them. They know. It's not
Putin
a big surprise.
I already said this. He said, you know, you're going through this woke thing right now, and it's going to be a disaster for you. We have already been there. We've already done that. We don't want that to happen again. So your
there
point
you
is a point that Putin publicly stated that point.
I didn't know.
As a point. So, So if this week the West rejects Russia's security deal with Russia, Putin will say the issue will go to his military experts to determine the best response. Folks, he's telling you clearly that there will be a military response. Putin said that he may have to retaliate to unacceptable NATO expansion. Okay, so he's while we're babbling away doing our baby babble talk, he is telling us we are going to destroy you if you don't leave us alone. That's what he's trying to tell us. And
correct.
We're not listening to him at all.
No.
Okay?
Nope.
So this begs the question, does NATO only exist to start wars? I mean, they're an alliance without an enemy. So they're looking for enemies. The world looks at us and sees the absurdity of abandoning our citizens in Afghanistan in an abrupt and incompetent withdrawal, then watches the theater of the absurd as every media outlet on January 6th run page after page in all major newspapers with sissy-like hysteria about the so-called January 6th insurrection, calling it
sure.
the worst trauma in American history, when only one unarmed white female, Ashley Babbitt, was cold-bloodedly murdered by a black Capitol Police lieutenant, and there was nothing to be afraid of. They say it was worse than the Civil War that killed 600,000 soldiers, worse than Pearl Harbor, where thousands of servicemen died, and worse than 9/11, when over 3,000 Americans were murdered by their own government. What a laughingstock our pathetic and weak nation must look like to our enemy. What are we going to do if we don't get our way? Cry? Can an economic collapse happen in the USA? We're in that process now. Can civil war happen in the USA? Critical race theory will make it happen. Can the USA become a failed state? Look at how much crime is committed with impunity. I see all of the murders, but never worry about the cops catching the murderers. I doubt that they look. If they do catch them, a prosecutor or judge will just let them go. You really are on your own, folks. We can become a failed state. Can the USA be destroyed by a nuclear war and its aftermath? Chairman Biden is working on that now. It can happen. So, yes, it can all happen here, and you really have to be delusional to think that it won't. Now here's what's interesting is when I got done writing it, and just before I came out here, I went back and I checked the news. This is just from this afternoon to a few hours later, and there were some new things. The talks today in Geneva went nowhere. Russia warns Americans misunderstand the gravity of the situation. That's his quote. Biden says NATO will never stop expanding. That's Biden's response to Americans misunderstand the gravity of the situation.
How could he do any more than to try to force Russia into a war, except overtly kicking it off with an attack? I mean, he's waiting. They're just baiting the bear. I don't know what else can be done. If he wants to false flag something, I guess they could do that. It's as if they're yearning for bloodshed and mass destruction and catastrophe. I don't get it. These Zionist Bolsheviks are never, ever happy unless people are dying.
You're in control of everything, everybody and everything, and every aspect of your life. Okay. So Russia said today at the end of the meeting, the quote, Russia may reply in a way that will inevitably and unavoidably damage the security of the U.S. and its European allies.
Permanently.
Okay,
yeah.
So while we think that Russia's just talking nonsense, okay, Russia's telling us very openly, hey, pay attention to us. You know, you better pay attention and take us seriously because we will crush you like a bug.
Yeah.
And the United States is engaged in baby talk.
It's not the United States. It's the Bolshevik cartel that took over. We're not governed by a
responsible... Well, here's the thing that's wonderful about that, Jeff, is that the Russian people are aware that the American people are not the problem. The Chinese people are aware that the American people are not the problem. Okay, they all know that it is an incompetent, absurd government that is the problem.
Illegal government. Yeah.
Seriously, we don't have anybody with a brain up there. I mean, I watched hour after hour of congressional testimony where they're asking cabinet secretaries what's happening in their cabinet, and none of them know. None of them know a single answer to a single question that a senator or a congressman asks them.
Wow.
None of them ever know. They don't know what people in their own departments are doing. They don't even know the policy that their policymakers are making.
They hate to laugh.
They don't know nothing that's going on. You know,
that's true.
It's like, you know, when I was in the military, leadership means something. Leadership means not only do you know what's going on in with the people under you, but you're responsible for them. For example, if one of my men got in trouble, it wasn't his fault. It's my fault as his leader. If one of my men can't pass his PT test, that's my fault. That's not his fault. Okay, but that's not the way our military is anymore. Those days are long gone. Let me tell you something. My son, who is in Korea in the Army, he told me something the other day that was very interesting. And that is, well, all of my sons told me that if you're a female in the Army, you see, committing adultery in the Army is a dishonorable discharge. But if a female is married and have sex with married or unmarried men, as many as you want, usually one every different night, a different one every night, they're never charged with adultery and never dishonorably discharged from the military. In Korea, my son said, if you're a white soldier and you get caught going to a prostitute, you get a dishonorable discharge. Now, that's like a convicted felon. You lose all your rights, including the right to vote. Okay? But black soldiers, because it is a part of their culture, and we have to realize that they have a different culture, they're allowed to go out and spend their money on as many prostitutes as they can. And not a one of them will ever get a dishonorable discharge.
And these are Korean prostitutes for the most part, obviously.
Yes, yes, yes. So what you see is all the soldiers see this, and they know between themselves what's going on. So I think we're going to have a divided military for sure.
Oh, I think already do. Yes, yes, yes. What's left of it. Yeah.
Right.
All right. So here's the punchline. Seriously, how much more will Russia take? How much more can Russia take? The whole Ukraine thing, the encroachment, which is what it is, by the EU and NATO, threats by the lunatic Ukrainians. How much more can Russia take? Or will Russia take? What do you think? They've certainly got a limit. There's always a limit. But where are we?
Russia's tired of it because Russia would like to live a normal life, and we won't let them, and Western Europe won't let them. Okay, so where we are at is
they're facing Bolshevik communism.
Off over,
Mitch.
He's going to do something. Yeah,
they're facing Bolshevik communism, and they're not going to go back to it. They're going to crush it.
Oh, exactly. The tables have turned. It's like, well, they used to be the communists, now we're the communists. So it's the same war, but the sides have switched. It's very Orwellian in its prosecution and stuff, but he can't put up with too much more. At the end of this week, when they're done talking, you know, the United States and Europe have already said, we're not going to give an inch, we're not going to bend, we're not going to agree to anything. They said that going into the meeting.
Right.
So if you go to a meeting with somebody that says that, so right now, Putin is just basically going through the motions, okay, of doing his best to make peace before it's too late. When this week is up, it's too late. If they haven't agreed to his terms, like I said, his terms are an ultimatum. It's not a suggestion. It's not a point of negotiation. He's giving us an ultimatum. He wants peace. He wants it to stop. If we won't agree to stop, then you know what? He's got the best, the biggest nuclear stockpile on Earth, and he can clean our clocks with it, and he will have no problem doing it. When he pushes that button, he knows he's killing Bolshevik Zionists and the running dogs and their lackeys or whatever the communists. Now that we're communists, we have to use those communist phrases like running dogs and lackeys and lapdogs.
God,
and stuff,
sure.
You know,
well, that's really a very good and prescient summary. I think it's quite clear now to all of you out there, hopefully, more clear than it was an hour ago, that we are really in the hands of people who want war. These people want us to suffer and die, and which we will. Russia could come in and take our nuclear, what's left of it, capability on, and I think wipe out the military, what's left of that, without too much trouble. They've got submarines off both coasts right now, as Mitch knows, ready with intermediate-range ballistic missiles that can reach halfway across the country easy to blanket key military installations anywhere they want. I don't think they'll go for population centers. But
you know, Russia's their policy is to attack population centers.
I don't know this. I don't know this. Is that a new policy, Mitch? I don't know this policy.
The American policy, even back in the days of JFK,
World War II,
was that we do not strike population centers. Russia has never, ever, ever said that it will not strike population centers.
Well,
you know, unlike America, they're not going to throw. They're not going to throw a nuke just out in the desert just to blow up and kill a few scorpions. They're going to take out some cities, you know, some major cities. They're going to stop us. They're going to, you know, listen. The Russians understand this, and the Americans don't. The Russians understand that the purpose of war is to destroy the enemy. Period. There is no other reason for war. Americans think war is for all kinds of things.
We got 1 week this week, and that's it.
Yep.
So, all right, we got to run.
Now, when
go ahead.
Putin
one
actually launches, mm-hmm. will be different than only he knows. Him and Xi know, because I know they're going to coordinate that and make it both happen at the same time. That would be advantageous to both parties.
Okay, so Friday. By Friday, when these talks round up, I guess it's Friday, I want you to let me know what your thoughts are at that time, will you?
Okay, I'll be watching it and stuff. I'll be listening.
Yeah, I know
to
you
him.
Will. I like your take on it.
So I can hear more of the baby babble that the Americans put out.
Baby babble.
Yep.
Wow. All right. I'll talk to you. Give me a ring, will you? I want your analysis. Very important.
Okay.
This is it.
Sure enough.
Okay. Thanks very much, Mitchell. Excellent.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay. There you go. Playing games with Russia, and apparently this is the week. This is it. We either reverse direction or we will be forced, all of us, into paying the price for what these lunatics seem to be driven by. And that's a lust for fighting, war, death, destruction, ultimately profit-making. Hold on. We'll be back.